gone one up top. We're gone one up top. All the other formations, they surely have to stop. We're gone one up top. We're gone one up top. Jamie and Jordan, the bullshit never stops.
You're listening to the One Up Top podcast, hosted by Jamie and Jordan. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast and all of our social media outlets at One Up Top Podcast.
And a very big welcome to Two Sad Pedos, also known as One Up Top. This is series two. My name is Jamie, usually upbeat and cheerful, but I am joined here in Misery Towers by the one and only John O'Reilly. How are you getting on, Matt?
Yeah, folks, here we are, all good. Welcome to season two, episode three, I think it is now, of One Up Top. And we are delighted to be joined by a Bowles legend, to say the least. There's a few 40-year-old phonetically challenged, setting their alarm somewhere to listen to this man, Stephen Caffo Caffrey. Caffo, welcome to the podcast. How are you getting on?
Thanks, lads. Yeah, doing fine. Yeah, thank you.
Great stuff. Great to be sitting next to Bohemian FC royalty. We are sponsored by Grand Cru Beers, Vault Fashions and New Age Barbers. And we want to thank our last guest last month, which is Shane Mario Dolan. If you want to find him, you'll catch him on the sidelines for Bluebell United. And he's usually going off at about 100-1 for any managerial job openings on Paddy Power. So do catch him on that. Like always, we'll start the show with a recap of where we are. And we were very, very bullish going into the last podcast. We predicted to get at least 10 points. We ended up with 3. So things aren't looking particularly great for Bohemians at the moment. And as the table doesn't lie, we are sitting in 6th spot. Derry City, the early title leaders. And of course, no surprise that UCD are down the bottom. Jordo, our first game, we went to Harps and we ended up only getting a draw up there. It's a difficult place to go. I know you actually bottled it yourself, but
yeah, look, it's I've done my service up there, in fairness down the years. It's a fucking kip, to be fair. I've no excuse for not putting out with that, but you know, Harps away. I've just seen it there. We've dropped 6 points from leading positions so far this season. And I think probably evident within the leadership the following two games too, against UCD and Shells, which we'll go into now. But now what looked like was a flying start, that's all it was a flying start. It's fucking, the plane has come down crashing the last couple of weeks.
And Caffo, I have to, you know, Bowes fans would argue about this, that Finn Harps is a tough place to go. Is it time to drop that narrative? Because Pats went up there and won 3-0 the week after. Did you find it tough going up there, or was it?
To be honest, I did find it tough, yeah. But I think the journey along going up there, 3.5 hours, 4 hours on a bus nearly, you know what I mean?
That's grand when you're getting pissed.
Well,
it's on the way back.
That was on the way back. It's going up. Now, come here, look at the long day sometimes. You're leaving Dublin at 12 o'clock and you're probably trying to get up there for 3:30 for your pre-match meal. Yeah. Game probably wouldn't be till 7:45. You're in a hotel hanging around. But as for the surface, and I agree with you, it's a fucking kip, like, you know what I mean? But it is what it is. You have to go up and grind results out, you know what I mean? So
plenty of bad pitches around the league this year so far. I've seen a picture of Sligo's pitch. It looked like it was heavily sanded after the snow.
Our pitch is in bad nick as well.
Our pitch is poor. Obviously, it's not able for two games at the moment. I know Keith Long's not happy about possibly having the women's team on it as well. They played in a mucky night, you know. So the pitch, Daly Mount is not able for it as well. We played Rovers then after just getting a draw against Harps. We went out to Rovers. Some people were saying it was a free shot. I don't agree with that narrative whatsoever. It was a poor performance. Might have been a different story without promise. Caffo, not turning up for a Rovers game. Did that ever happen with your Bowes side?
Come here, look, I probably played in about 15 or 20 of them over the years. Like, you know what I mean? Some games go for you, some don't. But I think as a fan, all you want to see is a bit of commitment, a bit of passion out there against Rovers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's biggest game of the season, really. You know what I mean? Absolutely. So go out and, you know, at least go out and leave her on the pitch, like, you know what I mean? So it's like,
I think that's something that we've really been lacking, and we're looking at the team around and say, who's going to grab this game with a scuffle neck, Jordan? And like, you might be looking at players like, you know, Flores, kind of hoping that Doherty might have come into that role.
It's evident Flores and the boy doesn't work.
Exactly, yeah.
You've got two number 10s, if you want to call them that, sitting in the number 6, number 8 position, and they're getting over on midfield. Grant, it can be nice in the eye sometimes, but even when we get to the top, we're running out of ideas up front.
Yeah, we signed a young fella called Jordan Doherty. I'm sure you've seen him play once or twice so far this season. He was signed as the number 6, not exactly a replacement for Keith Buckley, but a replacement for that kind of number 6 role. He hasn't really been given his chance so far. He played a good game against against Pats, but he hasn't been getting in the team. And is it something, you know, you were a holding mate, you could also play centre half. When you're looking at a team, can you go out there with two in the midfield who are going to attack, or do you need someone that's going to sit back at least and do the covering job for two centre-halves?
Well, definitely. Someone has to sit all the time, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, sometimes you have to nominate one lad just to sit there, you know what I mean? Like, there might be a time in the build-up to play where you do go and follow your pass, but like, it was obviously me and Hunty in there, and if it wasn't me and Hunty, it was Fergal Harkin and that, you know what I mean? But you'd obviously know Hunty at all the house as well, like, you know what I mean? So it's like that also comes from management as well then, you know.
But you would have always played in a 4-4-2, was it, or did you ever, was it ever changed?
Yeah, see, the game has changed now, you know what I mean? Most teams play with one up front now and one in the hole, like, you know, but we always played the two up, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was like 4-4-2, it's what we knew as a schoolboy growing up, like, you know what I mean?
But I thought it was, even when we were younger, like, I think the first time he was in 4-3-1, probably Benitez when he came in, like. But yes, we came out Rovers with a loss then.
And then we went into the Shells game on the Monday night, and, you know, we were saying you've got to take 6 points that week between Shells and UCD. Shells, we looked about decent for 20 minutes, Capo. You were at that game yourself. Was there any overall opinion on that? I mean, we were saved by Grant Horton in the end, who also made us a few quid as well, 22-1 and 8-2 score. He's the main man this year.
So speaking of 22s, he was there Saturday night.
I believe most of the team were in 22s on Saturday night. Women's team as well. What do you think about that Shells game? I know someone came on and put a, would look like a nail in the coffin that game, but we did rescue it.
Come here, look. I thought both teams were sloppy giving the ball away, like, you know what I mean? And you could feel the frustration in the crowd as well then, you know. But I don't know, from playing at the back of times as well, I think we got done 3 times from the goalkeeper's kick out off the ground.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be offside in that position, you know what I mean? But your man actually, that was the third time that happened for the goal, you know what I mean? So
that led to Rory Feely's red card as well.
That's we went down to 10 men then, but look, we went down to 10 men, we actually came back into the game then, you know, because we started the second half fairly slowly. Tosh Shells were the better side for the first 20 minutes of the second half. And then when the sending off happened then, I sort of galvanised the lads a bit, like, you know, and you end up getting a point out of it.
We did look a lot better, went down 10 men. Just that sending off, Rory Feely, who had a couple of pretty decent games compared to last year, it all of a sudden seemed like his form just went out the window there. He got sent off, he threw a strop at the ref. Was he giving out about the player being offside or giving out about a foul committed on him? Because they didn't look like it was a foul at all.
I was in Cheltenham on Monday night, so I'm not too sure. But I did listen to Keith Long's interview after.
He was filming.
It was the ramblings of a madman. Like, you had to go with Feely twice. You had to go with the pitch, which is obviously regarding the women's team playing at the same time. I don't know what he's going to do with his fullbacks, because he changed them up again on Friday against UCD. And he pulled one of them off and he switched one flanks, which I thought was mental.
Yeah.
The one that was getting destroyed ended up switching onto the other side, and they just switched the winger over to that side, and it was the same thing the second half. So now we have a serious issue with fullbacks at the moment, which a couple of years ago we had the best four fullbacks in the league.
Yeah, we had Detter, Breslin, Paddy Kirk and Andy Lyons, Leahy as well. You know, we've always had good fullbacks. I mean, you played with some great players like Simon Webb, even Damien Lynch was a good player as well. You know, like
Turkey.
Yeah, you would have played with him in your first net at balls, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Turkey would have been there. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, like, we went into the UCD game and said we have to win this game, and now, unfortunately, we didn't make the game. We were too busy betting on horses in the book.
The favourite part about it was Weenan was cheering on the wrong horses.
Malela Kakuna came over. I thought it was a nice guy who won it. Malela Kakuna had 20 quid in it. She's got 180 quid back here. That gets me out of a hole. Stood up in the pub. Come on, you cunt.
It was a wrong horse.
It's just fucking typical of that week. We had to go out and win that game. There was a massive balls crowd out there. A lot of people standing on the aforementioned Crowbar Hill on the side of it. So there was a lot of balls fans there. But you know what? It was a shocking performance. And if it wasn't for James Talbot, who was in the Ireland squad tonight, We'd have been well beaten 3-4-1.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Caffa, what did you make it a week after that? How would it have been in your dressing room? Shells and UCD. I know Shells are a different animal back then, but
yeah, come here, look, UCD, like,
they're 12 points a year.
At times we went to the old Belfield and it was a tough place to go at times, you know what I mean? But like, they were the games you had to win, like, you know what I mean? And if you're not winning them, I think Shells were there before them as well. I think they drew with them as well, like, you know what I mean? So they're probably looking at it as well. Go there, get 3 points.
But you do look at that and say, look, they're the games. If you want to finish in the top half or in the top three of this league, you've got to beat UCD 4 times a year. And that is the bare minimum as far as I'm concerned. We got to see a couple of players back in the last couple of games. Liam Bort, he was a very exciting winger. You know, trying to look, see where does he come into the team for next game. We're expecting Junior to come back as well. But ultimately at the moment, and I have to quote Brian Kelly on this one, there's a Keith Buckley shaped hole in the team at the moment, and that goes back to having the Flores and Devoy or swapping with Jordan Doherty.
Yeah, I know a lot made that Keith Buckley was irreplaceable. There's no League of Ireland player irreplaceable. We just didn't go out and fucking do it. And you can say that we never replaced Detter with his experience a couple of years ago. We haven't replaced Buckle's experience. We've been left with a team of essentially under 25s.
The oldest player.
27, Junior. His name is Junior. The same as Junior. Our most senior player is called Junior, which is very ironic. And we have, after that, I think it's Talbot, and then you're really looking at kids.
Flores, I think he's 26 as well.
26, yeah. So like you're looking around, and Caffa, you can imagine being in the dressing room, and there's no senior figures, you know. There's no talking in the dressing room. There's no even the likes yourself as your career went on. Like, what's it like being in the dressing room? Could you imagine what it's like being full of kids and there's no senior figure by the team managers?
It's hard. Come here. Look, I went in the dressing room as a young lad, and I was looking up to the senior lads, the Tockies, the Morris O'Driscolls, the Derek Swans, when I was young, like, you know what I mean? And come here, I just think we lost too many players this season, at the end of last season, you know what I mean? You lost the Bookhouse, the Georgies up front, like, the ball's stuck with them, you know what I mean? They get your goals. It just doesn't seem to be happening at the moment.
But I don't think Promise has been too badly. He got himself in a goal. I think he's got 3 for the season so far. He's certainly learned the role a bit more, but I think, as you said, even Georgie Kelly had a lot more experience as well. You know, he's actually won a league, he's won a cup as well, you know. I want to talk about our captain at the moment. That's Tyreek Wilson. Tyreek Wilson didn't choose to be captain. He didn't start against CUCD for some reason. Longer didn't play him. He's, you know, people have been a bit critical of him. I think he's probably only had one good game out of five and a half. That was against Pats. Thought he was very good. You know, are we lacking a bit in the captaincy now at the moment as well?
I think the fact that Tyreek was made captain, so it's not his fault. Like, to be given the armband to be 21, 22, to be throwing the armband.
It's swapping it with Flores as well.
Flores, like, Flores is no more of a fucking captain than fucking Tyreek is either.
Exactly, yeah, no, I agree with you.
So I think he's been stuck with it. Personally, I think it would have gave it James Talbot. I know it might be the ramblings of a madman again, as all keepers are, but I think Talbot is probably the obvious choice now at this stage.
Was there anyone on that pitch for you, Caffo, that you'd say give him the armband right now?
Well, come here, I always felt that when I looked after football teams myself, I'd always give the armband to my centre midfielder or my centre half, you know what I mean? They were your leaders, like, you know what I mean? So, like, sometimes people say, goalkeeper getting the armband, but I have to agree with you, he's led by example the last few seasons, you know what I mean? So
he's certainly someone that kind of embezzled everything that Bowes is about. Last but not least, it's a topic that's been kind of hot on a lot of people's, you know, on every form of social media right now, from the
forum, arguments ourselves.
Yeah, having arguments ourselves. So we drew short straws here, and I said, I'm going to say long out, you're going to say long in. So let's be serious here. We've not been great for just 5 games or 6 games even. We've been poor since the start of last season, to be honest. And I'm going to throw something here as well. I think even 2020 we might have finished second. Now, I think we caught teams in the hop after the raid because we actually paid our players when our teams weren't, and we were actually training when our teams weren't. So I think that looked at over 18 games, I think we looked better than what we were. So I think we've been fairly downhill since 2019, regardless of what way you put it. So I'm not sure if he's got a quick fix or if there's a long-term solution that he has a plan for next year, or are we writing off 2021 already or 2022 even? I'm a bit perplexed myself here.
I think I'm still mad about the manager sacked after 6 games.
I don't want the manager sacked.
No, you don't want the manager sacked, but I think everyone's pointing towards that direction.
Yeah.
7 games ago, we were in the Aviva, the cup final. He wins that. If Tyreek Wilson scores the penalty, where he's immortal for the next fucking 3 or 4 years. Look, I do trust Long, obviously. You have to fucking trust him. He's pulled the miracles. But it's worrying that he has got it wrong 2 years in a row regarding not signing senior players again.
Yeah, recruitment.
Down to maybe our training schedule, which seems to be the case. We're training in the even times, which apparently several players wouldn't sign off the back of it. So I think that has to be looked at. But then again, that happens. The little staff that comes with that. If Long does go, who takes the job? Like, does Crowley go with him? To me, Jesus, you didn't look... There's no one out there. You'll probably look at that and maybe take the reins. I'm not too sure.
I agree with you. There is nobody out there.
Caffa, what's your thinking on the situation?
To be honest, I was at the cup final with my son as well. So, look, I would have loved to see Keith win the Bladen Trophy. You know what I mean? Like, he's been doing a great job at Bowes all the way up, like, you know. And I know it's hard every year. You might lose your top players, whether lads want to go full-time. It's hard with the budget, probably. Lads that want to be part-time, they want to move on to the next level. So, you're trying to weigh it up both sides, you know what I mean? Like,
I think suppose the budget is there, it's just that it's the evening training.
Yeah, if you're a professional footballer and this is your profession, that you're getting well paid for it now at Bowes, that there's nobody on really bad wages, especially all the big players, would you rather train the evenings or the mornings?
Oh, mornings 100%.
There you go.
See, suppose we had Hilton signed up and the evening training is straight away now. Like, if you're at home, you've got 2 kids, they're sitting around scratching your buttocks all day. Yeah. Training the piss rain 7 at 9 at night in fucking whatever it is, March, April, May or whatever, when the weather's not great. I think the morning training, that's the direction we have to go forward.
Yeah.
See, what, can I just go in on that, right? When I first came to Bowes, when I came back from the north, it was, I think it was the first year Bowes went full time. So there was about 12 or 13 was were full time training every morning. And then you had the likes of Tocky, Blocker, Derek Swan, Al Mullen. They always played semi professional, as you call it, training in the evenings, you know what I mean? So I think the lads were sort of coming to the end of their career a bit, and they were never going to give that job up to go full time, you know what I mean, for a few years. And it was hard because we'd have to come in the evening to train with the lads, even though we were full time training in the morning. We'd have to come in to train with the five or six lads then as
so,
well.
So we're doing two sessions a day, right?
Yeah, sometimes we're doing two sessions a day. Yeah, because
was
the
survivor, wasn't he?
Tocky was the only survivor. But Tocky could walk around with his job, you know what I mean? But the other lads couldn't, so it was like we'd go training in the evening then, because there's not much you can do with five or six lads, like, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it is hard sometimes, you know. But look, if you're a decent player in League of Ireland football and you have a chance of going full time, training every day, using the gym whenever you have to, or coming in on a pissy night in the evenings, you know what I mean? There's only one winner.
Exactly. Now I think that's an agreement by, you know, 99% of Bowes fans. There is 1% of Bowes fans out there that are probably just happy that we're selling out and that we're doing all right. But I think it's kind of getting down to the nitty gritty is that, you know, we want to be winning games, we want to be winning trophies, the budget is there. I think it's about time the club start making movements in that direction, as otherwise, like this year and possibly last year, we'll be falling behind.
Yeah, because the table's in line at the end of the day. You can see there's a pack breaking away. And sadly, it's a 14 pack instead of a 13 pack, which leaves zero European places left.
Derry City on 14 points. Sligo's had a good start. Pats have actually had a really good start after looking like they're a bit ropey. Rovers haven't got going yet, and we know Rovers will get going eventually. You know, it's a tough league so far. It's a very tough table. You know what? I want to be competing with the top four and not the bottom four this year. I don't want to be comparing ourselves to Shells by the end of the season. No, I think that's an embarrassment if we're comparing ourselves to Shells and Drogheda personally.
I think there's a number of reasons why I don't think Lang will be sacked.
No.
He's got 2.5 years left, basically 3 years left, the end of 2024 season left in his contract. Much is that going to cost to sack him? His relationship with people in the club, how much is that going to affect his the ability to sack him? And just, if you sack him, then who do you get in? Like, there's more than one fucking ways that we can go about it. But at the end of the day, you sort of have to look long term as well. So I think Lang will be given the time that he needs. If we don't finish in the European places, I think that could be important.
Might be time to
and if
to
it's not important, I don't think he'd be, I think he might be given a bit, not too much time the next season.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. It's a terrible situation.
I just hope he's not digging his own hole anyway.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, he will have a legacy at the club anyway.
Yeah. Anyways, we will move on to our guest sitting next to us here. CAFFO. Probably the one of the easier chants that was penned on the back of a bus. But yeah, the one and only Gianni Clifford it was, by all people. So we'll start off where you started your career. And that was at Bowes in 1994. But did you play schoolboy before that?
Yeah, I was down playing with Belvo.
Right.
And under 18s was the last year, you know, and Peter Brady, Peter was looking after the reserve team and Bowers at the time. So he'd go around schoolboy, the top schoolboy league, trying to pick out a few young lads to come in and get into the reserves and see if he can push off a first team football. So I was lucky enough to come in with the likes of Michael Dempsey, Johnny Prizeman, Brendan Markey,
Sean Maher as well.
No, I think Shawnee was a year or two younger, he was. But the likes of them lads, we all came as a group. And Brendan went to England, Johnny went on to do well, you know what I mean? League of Ireland, Michael Dempsey.
And Torlach O'Connor came knocking, did he?
Torlach was manager at the time, yeah. And come here, it was hard coming in as an 18-year-old. And it was, we've just been talking about young lads in the Bowes team, you know, the experience. But the experience in that Bowes team when I came as a young player, like, was
Robbie
the likes of Brian Mooney and all.
Hendo in goal,
Mick Moody.
I believe even Roddy Collins was up there as well, wasn't he?
Roddy used to come train. I think Roddy was up in the north. And we used to train over at Sandy Mount, you know what I mean? So what used to happen was, the likes of him and Paul Doolin and that, based up the north, they used to train with us over in Sandy Mount on the Tuesdays and Thursday nights, and then they'd go up for that game on the Saturday then, you know?
Right, yeah. And in those 2 years at Bowes before you moved north, did you get many games for him?
No, we played in a few friendlies and Leinster Senior League game, and I think I was on the bench for one of the Intertoto Cups matches at the time, like, you know. So I didn't make the breakthrough. So I came in training on a Thursday night, and Larry Carbery was Torlach's number two, and he said to me, would you be interested going up the north on loan for 3 months? You'd be playing against Linfield in a final on Tuesday night. So I went up on the train on the I went up on the train to meet the manager and the chairman, you know. Little Nigel, you know, Best, Nigel Best and Adrian here was the chairman. And apparently he was just going up to sign, so it released me to play in the final on the Tuesday night. But he brought me off to a hotel with our wives and that. There's me bleeding, 19 years of age, didn't know what to be bleeding saying to them, you know what I mean? But I wore a green shirt going up, look at him with the green shirt on. But yeah, went to play the game on the Tuesday night. It was probably about 8,000 or 9,000 there at the game, like Union Jacks everywhere. I was like,
is this in Windsor Park, was it?
No, it was in the Oval.
Oh, in the Oval, oh, really?
Yeah. That's Whelan's old ground, isn't it?
Oh, I'm a Glentoran fan, yeah.
Yeah, we're in the Oval, so with Camaro, I was lucky enough because Dermot O'Neill was in goal at the time. Like, right, yeah. Dermot was up there for 3 years, and Tony Grant. Tony also played with Bowes and Rovers, like, yeah. You know what I mean? So that was before Mad Dog Bonesy came up as well then, so.
did you win the final?
No, we got beat 1-0, but we actually went on to win the Irish Cup that year then as well. Like, and we won a League Cup as well. There's about 6 cups up there. But
when you went up there, did you know, I will be back at Bowes someday and I want to come back to Bowes someday? But was that your kind of goal?
Yeah, it was like, come here, it was unfinished business. And Northside lad from Cowlock, like, yeah. You know what I mean? After being there and being in the dressing room and getting a sample of what it's like, you know? And then, look, you go up there and you win a trophy at home, and then your contract was coming to the end, and I was like, I was looking to go back down, you know what I mean? So
you're well regarded there as well with the fans. The fans were big.
Yeah, come here. We had a decent side up there. Yeah. Like Dermot led by example in goal. You had the Lucia Lee, Doherty, Glenn Ferguson and that, you know what I mean? Raymond McCoy, all big names up there. One or two of them played with Northern Ireland as well, international
any football. Any stories for us from up there?
Mario Dolan sat in that chair and told us plenty of stories about the Danske Bank League. Oh, I think we might just change the podcast to a Northern Irish podcast.
It's this weird fetish for Glenn Thorne.
Weird fetish, just because it was banned. I had to follow someone else.
Stop.
There comes the mind there. We can come back to it now in a bit anyway. But look, you moved back to Bowes in 1999. I spoke to your former manager, Roddy Collins, who owes us several favours after he pulled out of our live show. Apparently his wife fell down the stairs. But, you know.
Stay over.
I'm sure Roddy might do another live show. He's got that book to promote. I'm sure he'll be listening to this. We'll get him back on the high still, yeah.
He said you were his most important sign that he made, so he had nothing but good words to say about you.
He said about Bourne,
he said about fucking everyone. So what was it like when Roddy gave you the phone call and said, I want you back at Bowes? Or were you coming back anyway?
Yeah, but come in, to be honest with you, my contract was up, and I was up the north at the time, as I said, and the Alma bomb happened.
Oh, so yeah, jeez, yeah.
I think I had 2 months, 3 months left, and Tony was the same as me, like, you know what I mean? And it was a bit scary at the time then, you know what I mean? You'd be going into the Oval and places like that, and a sudden red car, and I'm not messing. Dermot O'Neill used to go underneath the car and make sure there was nothing left underneath it.
Really?
Yeah. Jesus. And it was time to go that time. And then Tony was in contact with Roddy, and he spoke well of me, you know what I mean? So Roddy was interested in bringing me down. So
what was like sitting with Roddy Collins and he's there talking to you a contract or wanting to sign?
Now come here, look, Roddy's a big character. Like, come here, we know he can promise you everything, you know what I mean? But come here, I got on great with him, and look, nothing but good words about him, you know what I mean? I was actually playing Gaelic and Croker for the Dublin Juniors before the Dublin Seniors played, about 40,000-50,000 at the game. And Roddy was at the match, and we went to take a shot for a point, and I got injured. A man came down and blocked me, and I was due to sign for Bowes the next day.
Right.
And I was like, Jesus Christ, I hope I'm all right. He had to be part of the odds to sign the contract and all, but he was grand. He was at the match, he tells me you're right and that, you know what I mean? So
Roddy told us you're a big Dubs fan, a big fan of funerals as well.
he used to call me the pallbearer.
The coffin carrier. We've got a couple of other names as well. It was deaths, births and funerals as well. Yeah. He said he used to go on the lash after a Dubs game every Sunday, and it was the same excuse on Monday morning. Sorry, boss. Sorry, gaffer. I'm not feeling very well. Or after a funeral.
True story. Come here, sunny days in Croker, you know what I mean? A few points in the Clonliffe after then, so it was like... A
few point bottles on the hill.
just on the Sunday session, else, we're on to Crowley and we're on to Macca. And Macca said that you're coming away in on a Monday and you'd be clinging on to the Forex injury because you'd be overweight. You and Crowley ended up on the rice cake diet for a while.
We did. We did. It was... Stephen Kelly was in charge at the time, and there was a bleeding weighing machine up in the gym in the Alza, and you used to get your body fat taken, you know. So through what he says, the 4 weeks down, he says, so Lemo will be looking at the clock be down there, you know, you stand on it, he'll be looking at it like that, we'll be holding on to the 4 weeks down, so there's going to take a bit of weight pressure off, you know what I mean? We'll tell you, it done you 2 or 3 pounds anyway, but I remember Roddy was the same, he had a word with Crowley about it, you know, he says, Crowley, you want us to cut out weight, not shite and all, you know what I mean? So I didn't know Roddy was after having a word with him, you know, so we were coming back from a game and down away, I think we were up in Derry or something. And we were having a few drinks on the bus on the way back. And Roddy was going by in the car. Yeah, all right, Caffa. We were standing outside the chip. Yeah, I'm just waiting on Crowley. He's ain't getting allowed to come up. What did you fucking say that to him for? Crowley came out. Well, that was funny, but Roddy got a hold. We warned you about eating all that shit.
I always heard that Crowley, and he wasn't fat at all. He was just massively built. He was just bulky and stocky. Like, or did he actually have a few pounds of?
I'll tell you what. I played against him as well when he went to Shelts when I was playing centre half. Crowley, even in training, he's fairly deceiving.
Yeah.
He just has that blocky build about him. But fuck me, he can open his legs up as well, yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Brilliant. I was going to ask you, obviously, you had a very good career at Bowes when you came back. Part of the double winning side, part of the team that beat Rovers 6-4 in Santry as well. Is that one of your finest hours in the red and black shirt?
Yeah, it is. It is. My dad and I was up there. There's a few other lads from Kildare.
Paul Bourne was there as well. Or shall we tell everyone anyway?
keeps getting confused with some other game in Santry, apparently. Yeah.
Because everyone was at the 6-4 <playing. laughs>
Now, see that game, honest God, we went in 4-1 down at half time. I started scratching my head. How the fuck are we 4-1 down? Robbie Horgan was in goal for Rovers. And he made about 2 or 3 great saves in the first half. And I think it was still 4-1 after 62 minutes. And we got the second goal, bang, bit of belief, third goal. If it went on for 10 more minutes, I reckon it would have been 8-4 or 9-4. They were gone. They were flat out on the footy, right?
What was said at half time in particular? Was there that sticks in your memory from Roddy Collins at half time that day?
I remember walking in at half time and all the Rovers fans were above us. Like, we go into the dressing rooms at Martin Stadium and then all you hear is sacked in the morning. Because rumour had it was, if Roddy lost that game, he was gone, like, you know. So he came in, had words with us at half time. And come here, look, none of us expected to go out and win 6-4 then in the end, like, you know what I mean? But when the difference going off at half time, sacked in the morning and fucking coming in at full time, the balls were raining down on Roddy, and then he was like that with the fist clenched up to them, smiling like that.
Toki was in here for a podcast before the Cup semi final. Infamous picture of yourself and him arm in arm. If you look up Stephen Caffrey by Amiens, it's you and Toki arm in arm after he scored that goal in the Cup final. What was he like as an influence in the dressing room? What was he like as a player to be alongside?
He was brilliant. I sat beside him in the dressing room. Toki sat in front of the mirror. I would be beside him, but I'll come here.
Come here, he walked. When I seen him, when he came in to do the podcast, I thought it was Wayne Lineker walking in.
Serious, yeah.
The grey hair, the beard
and all that.
We're in fucking Ocean Beach here, John. Yeah.
Ah, but come here, for someone that was at Bowes a long time as well, like, you know, they scored a goal. And the one after that then against Dundalk, we were beating him, like, you know what I mean? And the life of the life of him, like, you know what I mean?
To get a
medal, like, you know, because I think he lost X amount of semi-finals previously.
Yeah, I think Bowes lost 3 or 4 semi-finals. In the 90s, like, he was outrageous.
He was playing with Dave Tilson as well.
Well, Dave was there at my first spell when I was young, yeah.
We had Tilson on the live show as well. He apparently one of the fastest players that ever played in the League of Ireland, I've been told about Dave Tilson. Now, never mind Toki's goals, you've scored a couple of good goals yourself, and the one thing you could find on YouTube was that volley out in Inch of Car. Was that one of the best you got?
Yeah, come here, look. It's one of them, like, I think Crowley went to, I don't know what, the ball was played long up to Crowley and tried to cushion a header to me or something, and it just set perfect, and it's like one of them, come here. The way that flies in, or it goes in to the factories behind Ninja Car there, you know what I mean? So
we couldn't find any on your leg breaker on Maurice O'Farrell though.
Nah.
There's a song about it anyway.
Yeah, we got told off by a few lads earlier. Did you ever speak to him after that, or was it
No, come here, look, what happens on the pitch happens, you know what I mean? At the end of the day, you pull that jersey on and it's you're there to win, and look, that happened to me before. I remember, like, we came back and Jim Crawford can't be lovely in the Shards game. I had to go off then, but in fairness to Jim, he waited outside the door to say sorry to me, you know what I mean? But he got so much stick off the Bowes fans, he said, just tell Caffa I have to go.
And
he said, during that time at Bowes, he said, under Roddy particularly, he's had a good, wasn't much of a run, but two fantastic results in Europe, Aberdeen and Kaiserslautern. What was it like playing in those games?
To be honest with you, right, the Aberdeen game, it was early on the season, I think it was before our season started, and Roddy brought Darren O'Keefe in. He signed Darren, he did, and he played him with Hunty in the middle of the park, so he was actually left on the bench for that game over in Aberdeen.
He played the home game,
come here, look, we good, you know what I mean? Watch English football, Scottish football, you know, Aberdeen, you know what I mean? Way, but what a result. And then the game over in Germany, like, to be honest with you, the home game, we were well in it.
It's a red card, isn't it?
We got a red card in the Aberdeen game, and we were able to hold on, and then we got another red card just before half time. It was either Trevor or Darren O'Keefe.
O'Keefe got a second yellow.
I think they scored 3 goals in the space of 10 minutes and sort of killed us a bit, you know. But Crowley put the penalty back, and then when we went 1-0 up over there, there was a dubious offside one as well. Like,
Crowley scored again.
So it was like, come here, what an experience going on
over
there.
What was it like in a, you know, everyone talks about ready to motivate in that dressing room at half time again in the second leg when you're still in the game in Germany?
And the fans were well up for it as well. I mean, there are some fans that believe that we were entitled to win the European Cup at that stage, that we were royalty, that we were going to be going to play Anderlecht and stuff like that. You know, the likes of Pat O'Shea and Ian Hopkins, these are people who lived this.
Sid Cavanagh wouldn't go to one of the entries to save his money for the quarterfinals.
Yeah. People actually thought, you know what, we could fucking do this, we're that good, like, you know.
Yeah. Now come here, you look at their team at the time, Jorky F was playing.
Klose came on.
I think Basler.
Yeah.
And he had one or two Russian internationals
They just won the Bundesliga the year before.
Two years previous.
I think they actually got to the semi final that year.
Yeah, they got beaten by Basel, and they would have played Liverpool in the final only for that league. But it's similar to the Pauk at the moment. Pauk in the quarter finals of the fucking Conference League.
We lived with them for 2 legs over there, you know.
Not long after Roddy's departure, Pete Matney came in for a year. It wasn't probably a season he would have wanted, but what was it like during his tenure?
Yeah, come here, I was disappointed for Pete because obviously he was part of the background team under Roddy. And I was away on holiday and I heard Roddy was being released by the club, like, you know, and we were all devastated because he brought most of us all in. We were all his signings, you know what I mean? And he brought Pete in, and as I said, I felt sorry for Pete. Nothing went for him really, and I don't know whether the lads were playing for him as much as what they should have been. Obviously Roddy was a big character, and to not have him in the dressing room anymore, like, the motivation on him, you know what I mean? And Pete was more laid back, and he hadn't got the motivational skills that Roddy would have, like, you know what I mean? So it didn't happen for him, and like, disappointed for him.
A lot of people say it's probably the right man, maybe at the wrong time.
That's pretty much what everyone says about poor LP Martin,
Yeah, true.
Did a decent job of Pats as well then after that, didn't he?
But then not long after that, the man who's on the television inside there at the moment, Stephen Kenny, comes in.
Yeah, come here, Stephen. Stephen came in, and I think he was only about 4 or 5 years younger than most, older than most of us, like, you know what I mean? So,
you're looking,
obviously, he looked after Longford Town, like, you know, he beat them in the cup final the year before, like, you know what I mean? But Stephen brought so much professionalism. He brought it up a notch or two compared to, like, as time moves on, like, the likes of Wenger come into England and all, and you could see
sports science,
they weren't eating shite, you know what I mean? They're all eating all the right foods and all, and Stephen brought a lot of that to it as well. But his man management, like, was second to none, like, you know, we could be playing Rovers on a Friday, and we'd have Cork next Friday, and he'd have someone down at Turner's Cross
having a scope,
watching that set pieces, and he had that team the next week. Like, you're going back 20 odd years ago, and that's the way he worked, like, you know what I mean? So
are you anyway surprised that he's got the Ireland job right now, or do you think that he was always destined for big things after his tenure at Bowes? I know things didn't go particularly great. I know at Rovers at one stage he had a decent time over in Dunfermline, and Derry wasn't particularly great either. But did you think he'd end up on the telly right now managing Ireland and on an 11-game unbeaten streak after a very tough time he had?
Come here, look, when Brian Kerr got the job, you know what I mean? A lot of people said, what is he doing in League of Ireland, you know what I mean? But, like, delighted for Stephen, and, like, going on the first few games of his tenure, lads were missing through COVID. He just hadn't got that squad of players. He had no look. Everything was going against him. So it was delighted for him then when, obviously, we start getting decent results then. And it's not even that. It's great to be able to watch them play ball now, get the ball down instead of under Martin O'Neill and Trapattoni, the likes of Wezzo, probably one of our best footballers, you know what I mean?
Ignored for so long.
Just left on the bench, you know what I mean? If Wezzo was around now under Stephen Kenny, he'd be the main man in the middle of the park, do you know?
Yeah, definitely.
Just,
we're speaking about European games under Roddy. My first ever European game was Bate Borisov. I don't have much of a recollection of it other than beating them, but you had an absolute man mountain of performance in that game.
Pat Dunne says it's the single best Bohemian performance that he's ever seen was yourself against Spike Barsov.
You got a goal as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I got the first goal. A few of the lads were the Lord. I was 16-1. I was.
You wanted yourself?
Fucking bear hug. I was. You fucking little daisy.
were we 1-0 down from the away?
Yeah, we went over there and come here, look, it's a poor country, you know what I mean? We stayed in Minsk and we travelled about 40 mile up the road into the ground, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fucking little clip of a ground, like, you know, but they fucking lashed over there, they did that day as well. And we actually played well, we conceded a sloppy goal, but when we came back to Daly Mount, I think we got two goals after the first 20 minutes. I think Bobby Ryan got the second one. And that was probably one of our best performances under
Stephen Kenny.
Under Stephen Kenny, yeah.
We had a fairly glamorous tie then against Rosenborg. I remember being in the Connacht Street stand, we lost 1-0 in the home leg. And look, they were a very good side, but there was optimism going to the second leg. Unfortunately, we were beaten out the door 4-5-0.
I have a story here from John Lennon that I remember at the time. He said that in the airport, he's all shared the plane home. He said, you particularly were seriously annoyed about the result. He said he was chatting to you in the airport and you were actually disgusted nearly some of your teammates because they'd taken that we got beaten, so it's Rosenborg. But you're the one that said, no, we should have fucking deserved better than that. Why are people laughing and joking here? Like, we've just been hammered and they're getting on playing with other fans.
Come here, look, you take it serious. The way we were full time, you go in training every day, you go in Monday, you play our game on a Friday night. Friday night is everything. That's what you train all week for, you know what I mean? Like, it's already having a crack in training, but when you go on the pitch, like, you're representing your club and your country in Europe, you know what I mean? Like, everyone's looking around how our ball's down, how's Dundalk down in Europe tonight, you know what I mean? And come here, we were played off the park over there, they were the decent side, like, you know, but at the end of the day, look, spoke about it earlier, look, you have to show desire and commitment as well, you know what I mean? And if you don't have that, then
you're not going to get much out of it,
you know?
You weren't happy about Shea Kelly being locked in the jacks by Johnny Clifford either as well, I heard he was
Oh, Jesus Christ. But another European match there in Estonia. We have a story from there.
I heard it was a very different cafe over there, wasn't it?
Different cafe. It wasn't so professional when he had no t-shirt on in the nightclub with a bottle of Prosecco in his hand singing, "We fucking hate Rovers."
Who told you that one? True story. Now, come here. That was a great result as well. Like, you know what I mean? So, any result in Europe is huge, you know, especially for the club as well, financially as well. So it was like great to go over. It's like everything. Look, you go over a few days before the game, you train, you look after yourself, conditioning and all, and then you get the result. It's a night out, you know what I mean? You've got your bonus.
Were you still at the club for the Ghent game, or had you gone to Pats at this stage?
I was gone at that stage.
Right, you'd signed for Pats. When I was 12 going to matches, I remember 2006 fairly vividly. It's probably when I kind of started to love football.
You were your bollocks 12. You were fucking 12 in fucking 96, you couldn't you?
My passport says 28. You can keep saying I'm 48.
Fucking African 28.
John Obi McKellen over here. But I kind of remember a lot of that season vividly. I remember it was a fairly dire situation all year. You know, we didn't sign particularly great players. Vinnie Arkins was kind of our marquee signing up front. That was kind of set the standard for it. We'd lost Shea Kelly. We'd signed Digger O'Brien a goal. Even I'm taller than him, and I reckon I'm better than him, to be honest. You came back to us in the summer. You came on loan from Pats. What was it like coming into the team managed by Gareth Farley at the time? You'd gone from Johnny Mack into Gareth Farley. And I asked you before we started, was it a bad side, or were we poorly managed? Some good players like Stephen Ward, Jock Sarkey. Kevin Hunt was probably injured for a lot of that year, unfortunately.
Come here, Jason McGuinness was there still. I think Ken O'Man was still there, like, you know what I mean? So from 2004 to the team that I was playing in to 2006, it was a totally different team, And come here, Garrett's training, he played in England for most of his career. Some of the training was brilliant, like, you know what I mean? But it's all to do with results. I think I got a winner against Shields. We won 2-1.
It was a diving header.
We ended up losing the game over. We lost the points over to Jason McGuinness, which was eligible not to play. But I think that was the first Dublin Derby win of the season, like, you know, and that was coming near the end of the season. So
we got out to Talca Park and lost. We lost the last game of the season out in Talca Park. We played Rovers in August, which was a cup game. We drew 1-1 in Talca Park, and then we were beaten.
That was Rovers, our fourth division team for them,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, we were beaten 2-0 at home. Gareth Farrell, I think it was Gareth Farrelly's last game. He think he took the pen out. Barry Murphy either saved or he hit the post. Were you playing that evening? I think it was a Monday night refix our game against Rovers.
No, I wasn't playing then.
Just as fucking well. So, and we were chatting there before I came on, is that you were basically told that we're going to go part-time and, you know, maybe look for a different club now at this stage.
Yeah, financially, like, we were all full-time for the few years that I was there. I think it was full-time for 6 years, and then I don't know what happened, the money dried up or whatever, like, and man, we were basically told that, look, I think there was about 2 months of the season left. You're told, look, if a club comes in for you,
take it,
because the club are in a dire situation and we don't know what the budget is going to be for next year. You just have young families, you have to look after yourself. Didn't want to live, but it was a way of life, like, you know. Johnny Mack came in, asked me to go out with the Pats, and he was able to stay full time, where Bowes went from being full time back into the part time.
And there was there's a video on YouTube which kind of sums up 2006, and that's our current board member Dave Rotwell, Ian Hopkins, Jerry Bourne verbally abusing Gareth Farrelly for 10-15 seconds of vitriol, and that's how bad it was around the club at the time. And I suppose we'd be thankful that we don't have any sort of scenes at that at the moment, that we're in a considerably better position than what we were in. Anyways, just on your diving header, I remember you actually came off the bench that game, didn't you?
Yeah, I think it was my first game back.
I remember that very vividly.
I think Crowley scored for Shells, and then I think Fergal Harkin pulled one back then.
Yeah,
and
we
then
got one from the left-hand side.
Yeah,
fucking, that was a great night, that was. Because beating Shells back then was massive, because Rovers were in the league. I mean, those games were fucking huge, you know. A lot of Bowes fans like to ignore the Shells rivalry. Back around 04, 05, 06, playing Shells was fucking dead.
You were being bullied in school, boy, at the time, right?
I was being bullied in St. Aidan's. Never mind the Christian Brothers, it was the Shells fans I didn't like.
There was a few of the lads that actually played with Shells, like, you know, all from that squad, like the Lucia Crowley, Bobby Ryan, Hawks. They all left and went to Shells, so it was nice to put one out with the lads as well.
You moved back to Glenavon after that then, and you went back up, or did you go to that?
Went to Glenavon then in 2006.
Yeah, I went back up to Glenavon. They got back in touch with me, and I was free. I was out at the old contract, and I went back up, and it wasn't the same. Like, you know, from the first time, it was like the squad of players that were there the first time I was up there was second to none, like, you know, where there was a younger squad, more inexperience, you know what I mean, and like, I was the only one going in, like, you know what I mean. So the travelling as well then, you know, like, we were able to train down in Dublin and just travel up for games most of the time, and then when I went back up second time, they were looking for me to come up training Tuesday, Thursday, and then on a Saturday for the game, and I was like, you know, family, I can't do it, like, you know what I mean. So I think it was a short stint up there.
And that was the end of your career after that, was it, or did you go to
Spartan Fingal then?
No, it was Spartan, my dad, a friend of my dad, asked Stephen Downan, like, you know, I think I retired in my early 30s, like, back playing Gaelic and what have you then, and Liam Buckley took over Spartan Fingal, so he asked me would I be interested in coming up, like, you know. So we went up, and I was out of the game for a long time, picked up one or two injuries pre-season, and I just found it hard
to get back into it,
to get going again. So we ended up taking up a coaching role up there, looking after the under-19s with John Devine, and he ended up doing that for a year. And we packed it in again.
Then you ended up at Lowen. Can you tell us about Brendan Place?
tell me
what you want to tell us about Brendan Place. see what makes the cut.
Now, Brendan, I think Brendan's a glazer by trade. So one of my mates walks down in Kilmarnock.
So James.
I saw PVC windows.
He walks down in Mila. So Brendan used to come in a lot, like, you know what I mean? And he said, what's Caffo up there? So to me, mate, you know, he's not doing that. I think he's knocking around a local club. So he asked me to go down. So I end up going down, signing a year's contract. And same thing, travelling down one night a week. And then the second night for training, you'd be over in Piemont. But Chris Bennion ended up signing as well.
I know.
So best thing about Atlan was the nights out with Benno down there. Anyway.
So then, look, a couple of questions asked. Crowley and Macro asked me to ask Roddy Collins and a case of your Johnny Giles.
I told you weren't getting an easy ride.
True story. I went up, right? We were playing Drogheda up there on a Friday night, and it was fucking freezing cold. The ground was wet, but I was sitting down on the ground, stretching out my calves, my hamstrings, and what have you, and that. And the next day, novel pain in my arse, like, you know what I mean? So we commit to train on Monday morning, and I think Roddy thought he was at the main on the drink or something, you know what I mean? I said, Roddy, I can't train, I can't even sit down on the bench, my bleeding arse is in bits, I think I have piles. Give us a look at them! Like, give us a look at them! So there me, we get up, pull the bags down, no, put that away! A bag of grapes hanging out of your arse.
And did you ever find out the identity of the slug?
Of the slug?
Yeah. can you tell us what the slug was?
Don't know what the identity of the slug is.
But what was the slug?
We have no idea.
Oh, you're under out here. Go on, tell us what the slug was.
I haven't a clue. I don't know who came out with that one.
He said someone used to take pictures of people with their Willard beside people's dodgy clothes. Normally, Webby Macker said, and the pictures used to go around with people. Jeez, I can't believe I'm saying this when you don't know yourself. But yeah, supposedly Macker told us that somebody used to take a picture with a Willard on top of players' clothes if they were dodgy clothing, and the picture would be sent around.
Yeah.
They told us that. Did you ever find out the identity of it?
No.
Unless it's you.
No, it wasn't me, no.
We have a couple of questions here, as you know, just before we finish the show. Jordan has the two big ones. We've got a couple of other ones here. Is team you could have signed for? Any team in the world that you could have got the opportunity to play for, who would you pick?
Man United fan. Man United.
Right. And this is a new question to the podcast. Mario Dahl didn't have an answer. Hopefully you have one. We can give you a bit of time. Who plays you in the Bohemians movie?
Who plays me in the Bohemians movie?
In the Bohemians movie, yeah.
I don't know where you got that one from.
We'll leave that one there. So.
What's that one?
Who plays you in the film about Bowes?
Couldn't tell you.
No, that's not a
problem. We'll go Mark Wahlberg.
Mark Wahlberg. Right, we'll go Mark Wahlberg.
And then one player, dead or alive, you'd like to have a drink with?
It'd have to be Roy Keane.
Roy Keane, yeah.
Roy Keane, what a character.
You know, a lot of people come on and say Cristiano Ronaldo, and he doesn't actually drink.
Yeah, Ronaldo.
There's about five lads in a row, so that.
You can separate the Colquays and come on and say Maradona as well.
Well, yeah, for different reasons.
And then, Caffo, you're 5-a-side team and you're in it.
5-a-side, as in Bowes players?
Players, any team.
It's a chance to show off, but I'm not sure there's much in Glenavon.
No, I've got a 5-a-side team. We'd have Wayne Russell as my goalkeeper. I'm going to go with Bowes selection here.
Would anyone be hard done by Shay Kelly, Michael?
Yeah, come here, we played with Ashley Bayes,
Jesus Christ.
We didn't really play with him that much, it was sort of just around the squad at the time, like, you know what I mean, but you had Bayes on Michael Dempsey, Wayne was super, even them European games and all, like, you know what I mean, he was fucking excellent, he was.
Ashley Bayes save and Tucker Park still regarded as the best ball save of all time.
The ball was in the net nearly, you know what I mean, like, the ball was behind him, he just clawed it out, and I think I was to blame for that, because I got caught in the ball in the middle of the park, so I was kissing and hugging him after the game. And come here, what a game as well, like, to go down there and win it.
Yeah.
The last day of the season, and little did we know, we weren't getting, like, we had no clue we were getting a trophy, we won the game. So we're all bleeding, celebrating with the fans on the pitch, and we make our way to the changing room. And there's about eight was in the changing room while Hunty's lifting the league trophy.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Like, where would you get it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing about, like, if you win today, the trophy be there. There's Hunty in the stand lifting the trophy up, we're not sitting in the dressing room.
Jesus.
Oh, brilliant. Who else goes in your 5-a-side team? So you've got Wayne Russell, yourself. You can play centre half or centre mid?
I go Shawnee Marr.
Right.
Colin Hawkins. I have to go in myself, do we?
Yeah.
I go in with me and Hunty and Crowley up front.
Right. That's a good side. It's a very good side.
Yeah. Actually, we actually haven't talked about Hunty much. Yeah. What was it like playing alongside him?
Oh, come here. Look, Hunty was brilliant. He was on and off the pitch, like, you know what I mean? Like, you'll hear people talk about Kevin Hoyley off the pitch, but on the pitch, like, I don't know, like, we just seemed to click, like, I know Fergal played a lot as well, but Fergal would play if one of us was injured, or Fergal would play to the right more so, you know what I mean? But Hunty was brilliant, come here, captain, led by example, you know what I mean? So, like, for a small lad, he just go in and break it up as well, like, you know what I mean? And it's
there was
no holding back, like, you know what I mean? It was like, so composed on the ball, but, like, no problem going in, like, and he'll let you know when he's there, like, you know.
Probably missing it at Cathal when I hunt you at the moment.
People from outside the league or people who aren't overly interested, they always say, who was that English fella who played for Bowes? He was different gravy. And everyone says it was Kevin Hunt.
Yeah.
He was different gravy, absolutely.
Yeah, you obviously ain't to have time on the ball. Hunty obviously ain't to have time on the ball, like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, you don't get many players like that now, you know? So it's like, you know yourself in their legs, blood and thunder, you know what I mean? But Hunty, he obviously just had that composure on the ball. He just seemed to have more time than anyone on the ball, like, and different gravy.
We're certainly missing players like yourself and Hunty in there now at the moment. That's the least to say about it. We'll move on now to look forward to, well, some of us are looking forward, some of us aren't, to Bowes versus Derry on Friday after a very short break there. Needless to say, we need a result. Derry City are top of the table. There's one player that's been sticking out for them, and that's Jamie McGonigal up front. He's out there banging a couple of goals. He's come across from the Danske Bank League. The last night Derry came down to Derryman Park, it was 3-3. Georgie Kelly got the super goal at the end. I mean, yeah, that was probably one of the best goals I've ever seen anyway, personally. Are we expecting much on Friday, Jota? Or do we demand?
I think it's hard for anyone to expect that at the moment. But in sport balls, you have to demand, like, at the end of the day. Like, you can't go in with the balls being tired and expect to lose the game at home. To anybody, never mind if it's fucking Derry or whoever it is. I think we have to go out there with the mentality, which I think could be an issue given the demographic of the team being so young. And, you know, does the international break hopefully help us with players getting away with the international teams? Hopefully so. Need a fresh start. We need to leave those last few games behind us. And whether we come out with a win or not, I wouldn't be overly confident, but at the same time, it wouldn't surprise me if a Bowes team comes out with a win.
What do you reckon, Cafo? Maybe that break much of a must need to recharge the batteries a little bit, maybe get the heads together and go again. Maybe a different game plan this time, maybe something that looks a bit different. They've got a bit of time to work on it.
Come here, hopefully, yeah, the break has helped the lads, like, you know, but come here, it's early in the season as well, like, you know what I mean? And obviously, they're under pressure to get a result, you know what I mean? And being there at times, and, like, you just want to buy a win, like, you know what I mean? You get that win on the board, but look, Derry will recruit well this season. Look, they look like a decent side. They watched them against Rovers on RTE. The live game, they gone back a few weeks ago, they were fairly good, they were. So, come here, they're a well-drilled side, so be a tough ask for Bowes.
Tough night, yeah. Hopefully we do get a result. We've a couple of other fixtures coming up as well. We're playing Finn Harps on Good Friday. That's also known as a piss up. And we've got Shells away on the Monday. Two difficult games looking at them now, but they're probably two games we should be winning. You know, Shells away, Finn Harps at home. That should be 6 points.
We should be looking at going one of those games. 7.79 in the next three, I think, should be the minimum standard of Bowes.
Yeah, absolutely.
We should be probably looking at 9. Anything less than 7, how far are we going to fall behind the top 4?
Yeah, and then now we're going into the end of the first series of games. You know, we were chatting earlier, Cafo said, with a bit of catching up to do if you're miles off the top 4 or top 5 at that stage of the season. That's not where this club should be. I think we should be, with the budget we have and what we have at disposal, we should be up and around the top 3, top 4 minimum at least. So we have a couple of big games coming up, and we really need to have a good, I think the players have to have a good look at themselves going into Friday now. And let's hope we do get a result. We don't want to come into the next podcast with even more worse news and a bad mood, you know. As we said, we've been very fair to this team all the time. We never hammer the players, so don't make us do that.
Yeah, so before we wrap up, what's the future hope for Stephen Caffrey? I know you're doing a bit of refing at the moment.
No, we've actually finished the refereeing.
Have you finished, yeah?
Yeah, I went back to my Gaelic roots, I did.
Were you with Craig Kieran, is it?
No, Inishfields. Come here, the same thing, look. I enjoy getting out of the gaff as well, you know what I mean? Bit of band on the dressing room with the lads again, but yeah, it's like most junior soccer clubs as well. Like, the lads don't want to go training now, you know what I mean? Like, you're coming up and there's 10 or 11 bodies, like, you know what I mean? You should have 20 odd, but come here, I've enjoyed me playing days, and it's time to give something back as well then, you know what I mean? So, whether it be soccer or Gaelic, like, I was involved with Airfield as well.
You might be imagining Dardale as well.
So Wikipedia says.
I turned 40, and one of the lads looking after Dardale, he asked me, look, Cafo, would you be interested coming in and do a bit of coaching? And they end up putting the boots back on, and we end up winning a double that year. I actually retired then, you know what I mean? I said, that's it, 40 years of age, there's a lesser double, that's the way to go out.
Brilliant. Look, that's all we have. Anyway, look, mate, thank you very much for coming in this evening, Stephen. I know we're missing the Ireland game here, let's hopefully we're getting a result in that. Look, as we do every week, and we have to be positive, Jordan. Come on the fucking Bowes.
Come on the fucking Bowes.
Come on, Bowes.
Up the Bowes.
Cause we all follow Bowes wherever they play. We don't care if it's home or away. We are the boys, and we're proud of our name. So we'll all bounce around and we'll sing it again.